The first reading of this evening is from Psalms 27, 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advanced against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high on a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me, and his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading for this evening is from John 16, 19 through 33. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I come from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "You believe at last," Jesus answered. "But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, though, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Our texts are those that you've already heard, but especially, of course, sticking with Psalm 23 tonight, grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. We've added something each night and each day between the Sundays and the midweeks as we've gone through the psalm and had some fun along the way, but tonight takes a real serious tone as we have what would resemble a tombstone before us, reminding us of the valley of the shadow of death. But we also, hopefully, as Christians, hold strongly to the understanding that death is not something that will nor can ever hold us, because it couldn't hold our Savior, and we will be with Him. Still, we face that, and we experience the fear of that throughout our lives. We talk about in our lives a lot of things regarding mountains and valleys. Well, mountaintop experiences. We're in the valleys in life. So peaks and lows. Some people will even refer to those things when they're talking about how your week has gone, how your experiences have gone. We use those mountain and valley metaphors a lot, and with the idea behind that usually the mountain being is the good place, that's the great place to be, and the valley the not so good place. Now, I don't know how many valleys you've been in between mountains. Most of the ones I've seen are pretty awesome, beautiful places. They're lush green places. They're wonderful where there's water available, where there's a lot of foraging for cattle, for sheep to experience a good diet on. You're flanked by mountains on both sides, so you don't get the entire day's worth of sun that people out in the plains areas might get, but still, it's beautiful. Now, depending on the height of the mountains and the depth of the valley, you can experience a lot more darkness than light, perhaps, as well. Catherine and I, in fact, went down in a valley, a canyon one time. It was called Black Canyon, still is, actually. They haven't changed the name since we were there. Black Canyon, they only get 4 hours of direct sunlight in that canyon a day because it is such a narrow canyon and so deep. We hiked all the way to the bottom and went back up, and it was already dark by the time we were getting up and out of there. It's something that the less direct sunlight you get, the cooler those experiences are as well. And also, now with valleys, because they are in a sense protected up to a point between the mountains, it's also a place where there are some dangers, of course. That's where the bears are. That's where the wolves or the coyotes are. That's where the mountain lions come in. And they can be very dangerous places also, as beautiful as they are. And along with those dangers, there are other dangers, like the idea of rains bringing flash floods or lightning that bounces around in those places too, off the rocks and the sides of the mountain walls. So in some ways, the illustration that we use of that mountain being a nice grand place and the valley being a lower place, a lesser place, it could be right in those kinds of ideas, because in some cases the valleys can also be places of danger. For us, we experience the ideas of valleys as we talk about valleys in our life when we're dealing with depression, when we're dealing with frustrations, when we're dealing with struggles, and they can be relationship issues, it can be financial issues, it can be employment issues that we're dealing with. Whatever it is that we experience, we look at these and we call these valleys for ourselves. When we're dealing with extended periods of sickness, or others in our lives are dealing with extended periods of sickness, these things cause turbulence for us. And we see them as valleys, places that we want to be able to get out of to feel safe again. There's, for us, as Christians, one place that we most assuredly should always go when we're feeling those kinds of struggles, and that's to Christ as our Savior. Now, He's not the only one we go to, because there are other places that He, in the wisdom that He gives us, we can turn. If we're dealing with relationship issues, we can go to those who can counsel. If we're going with financial issues, we can go to those that can help. If we're dealing with sickness, then might I suggest a doctor? There are other avenues that the Lord gives us to seek out help when we're going through these valleys in life. But we never want to take the Lord out of those experiences for us, because we know that no matter what the valley is, even as our psalmist notes, even the valley of the shadow of death, we know that Christ is with us. He goes with us wherever we go. And that's the important thing for us to always remember, no matter what the valleys are in our life, because some of you are going through valleys right now. Some of you have been in valleys for a long time. But Christ has been with you all along, and He still is. He's never left. He's never forsaken you. He never will. You may not always recognize his presence there with you, but he is there. And the sooner we come back to him and see that he is there, and whether that's in reading his word, in spending a little more time in our prayers, in counseling with other Christians, to know that Jesus is with us is imperative for us to be able to make it through these valleys. To know that Christ is our Savior and he sees us through is critical for the Christian in our life. We deal with fear not so well. Everyone has different fears. I found it interesting as I did a quick look, and then I just threw out all of the data that I found because it was completely contradicting itself. Every different site I looked at, looking at all these different studies on fear, what people are afraid of. And for some of them, the fear of public speaking was number one. And death comes in about 5 to 7. I'm going, really? Really? Let's see. For me to become a pastor, it was, and I had a fear of speaking at one point a little bit, but death was a lot bigger on the line for me. I don't know. Let's see if I can go into a career where I talk or I die. Some of them said that fear of failure was number one. Some said fear of, and all kinds of other paranoias came in. In other words, none of them agreed. What is the number one fear? It's whatever is the biggest fear for you. Fear is often said to be the number one fear. Yeah. You have no fear, but fear itself is even that phrase, right? Yeah, exactly. Like you said, we face fear. But we don't do it so well because we flee from fear, which is not such a bad thing. Because usually where there is fear, there is a reason for fear. I was expressing to someone just the other day, if you ever see me running, I recommend you run too. The same direction I'm running, because I don't run unless there's a reason to run. Yeah, if I'm afraid, I'm giving you a clue. You know, you can outpace me, so get going. We deal with fear in an idea of fight or flight, usually. And often it's more flight than fight, which is not a bad thing, because as panic and anxiety and confusion and frustrations come into our life and we know these fears, we need a calming spirit. And we can't really calm ourselves quite often. Jesus, our shepherd, the Lord, our shepherd, comes and he's the one who can provide that calm for us. He's the shepherd who's got it under control. And he's watching out for us. He knows when the storms are coming. He knows when the danger's there because he's out in front of us. And when there's a problem, he's going to fend it off or he's going to pull us into safety, whatever's necessary. Doesn't mean that we won't face the dangers too. Doesn't mean that they're going to go away. Doesn't mean that the anxieties or the fears aren't going to be something that we have to live through. We are in our lives. But we're not alone. Jesus is there with us. He won't leave us. He stays right there. And he's there no matter what the fear, no matter what the danger, because he knows that fear can bury our spiritual growth. But he's there to bring that back through in our lives so that we can continue on in serving him and in living with one another. The idea of a tombstone representing death for us, hopefully as Christians, reminds us that it's only a temporal thing, not eternal. Because where the body goes, the spirit does not. Our spirits never go inside of a grave. At the moment of death, our spirits are with the Lord in heaven. He brings us there. Even to the thief on the cross, he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus doesn't waste any time in salvation. He doesn't waste any time at all when it comes to taking care of those he loves. He will not leave us in our fear. And he won't let us fall prey to it either, because he's going to be there to see us through. Sometimes fear is something that's very present and physical in our lives. And sometimes fear is something that makes a lot of noise, but doesn't really pose a lot of actual bodily harm. It doesn't really matter. It's still fear. And it's still real for us, for the individual going through it. And wherever that fear is, whether it's a fear of something small and seemingly insignificant to others, or a great fear such as the fear of death, Jesus is with us. He's with us to see us through. He's with us to see us to the end. And he's with us to save us. Not just to see us from this life, but to see us through this life and into the life that is to come, into the glories of heaven. There's a certain amount of fear that probably should always be there for us, because that kind of fear is the fear that keeps us safe at times. We consider the things that are wrong, the things that can harm us, the things that can hurt. And fear might keep us from those things, because we find that sin, the wages of sin is death, and sometimes a good healthy fear might keep us from some of the sin in our life that would lead to death. But with fear, we know what's right and what's good, and we know that just because it's something that is a fear, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to conquer that fear. No, that's for some other people to do at times, and sometimes it's for a Savior to do. And Jesus is there. A healthy amount of fear can be good. That place that Catherine and I hiked, Black Canyon, going down to the bottom and coming back up. On our way up, we passed, and I don't remember if they were going down at that time, it was too late, or we just passed them going up. There was a family with a small child, and that small child had gotten ahead of them. It was a group of five or six people here, but the small child had gotten ahead of them by a couple of switchbacks, which is not real good, even though it's only one trail in a narrow area. And we passed, and we were thinking, that's, you know, not a good idea. We were staying in Santa Fe, New Mexico, south of Black Canyon in Colorado, where we were that night. And on the news, they were talking about a child that had disappeared in the canyon. And that was the family that we had passed. The child we saw, we were probably the last ones to ever see that child, and didn't realize it until it was that night. They presume probably a mountain lion had dragged him off the trail. Sometimes a little fear is good, because it keeps us together. Keeps us in that herd mentality, like sheep, where there's safety in numbers. And more so, where there's a shepherd that's watching over us, where there's someone that's keeping a careful eye on us. And this someone for us is our Savior Christ. And what better eye to have out for us every day of our life, no matter what the fears we face, no matter what the dangers we face. The Lord is our light and salvation, we're told in one of our texts that we heard today. Our light and salvation. You know, there can't be a shadow unless there's light. So wherever the shadows are, the light is there also. And that light for us is Christ. The evil can exist and it may still be around us, but God is contending with it even now. He's with you. He's promised to never leave you, never forsake you, and he's holding on to that word. He's your shepherd. And he'll walk with you wherever you go in this life. And he'll be with you even in the darkest valleys and the darkest hours. He will be there to go with you. We can give ourselves over to fear, or we can give our fear over to our Savior and trust that he's going to give us confidence in him. Tr- trust in Him. We know that nothing is greater than Christ, nothing is stronger than Christ, nothing can overcome God. He is on our side. He's our shepherd. And He's even said, I've overcome the world. In our other reading, we're reminded of that truth. Nothing is greater, nothing is stronger, nothing is more awesome than Christ. And in that time of darkness, wherever that has been or may still be in your life, when we place ourselves in the hands of our Savior, we know that He is with us and He'll stay with us to the very end. The Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no need to fear, because He is with you always. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.